Welcome to the Podcock Peacast. I'm your host, the only Tyler Peacock. Big Ten is back, baby. And us three Midwesterners, well, two of them I know are excited. Myself, the only Tyler Peacock, and Bryce Bumgarner. How you doing?
Good evening. Doing fine. I'm not going to bark. Sad dog noises this week. So it's good to be back, though. Definitely good to be back.
And Bobby Russell, Notre Dame fan, but I think you appreciate the Big Ten, so welcome.
Yeah. I mean, see, growing up here, I've watched almost every Big Ten game that didn't involve Notre Dame. So only thing I got to say, I don't hear no dogs barking this weekend, and Bryce already brought it up, so it kind of sounds lame now.
We got our tails between our legs.
Well, go ahead. Discuss. Start with the winner. Bobby, your Steelers. Just beat down the Browns. So the victors goes the spoils. Go ahead, and then we'll do the 10-mile trivia after a little recap of Browns Steelers part one.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't see that performance coming from our running game, especially with David DeCastro still out. We had a rookie starting at right guard, Kevin Dotson, who's been phenomenal in spot starts this year where he's been. James Conner continues to make a fool out of me by just gaining 100 yards, a couple touchdowns. He's improved his catching out of the backfield in the screen game, which is huge for the Steelers, especially with Roethlisberger. He's kind of got the breeze thing going, throwing short yard passes, doing jet sweep touch passes. So that worked out perfectly. Our defense, I think that was the best defensive performance we've had this year. Started off with Minka Fitzpatrick in the pick six to start off with. I don't think he even moved his feet, and the ball just kind of hit him, and he just walked into the end zone. And then Bud Dupree continues to have a stellar year on his franchise tag year. So I hope we find a way to re-sign him next year and keep this whole defense together. Big blow losing Devin Bush. We just can't seem to keep a middle linebacker healthy, whether it be Shazier, whether it be losing Jason Worlds to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Devin Bush tearing his ACL. Sucks. The kid that stepped in, I can't think of his name. He stepped up pretty good, but I don't think he's a long-term solution. So I wouldn't picture seeing us going into like the free agent market or trying to make a trade at the deadline, especially with the Jets having a fire sale. Might be nice to pluck one of their linebackers or something. But I was kind of disappointed in the Browns, honestly. You know, I know Baker was hurt. I know they're missing a guard. But it just something just seemed completely off with them. I don't know whether it was the play call. I don't know whether it was Baker's injury or what. But it just wasn't the Browns that I've seen this year.
Yeah, I'll take the lead from there. And, yeah, very disappointing. It was just one of those things where I think first, like, 5 minutes, I was like, here we go. Like, you like, kind of can sense it right out of the gate. Just like, I think Baker looks a little rusty. That pick six definitely shook him for sure. And then I don't know, just they couldn't get hats off to the Steelers defense. I mean, this was like classic Steelers here. Like they always seem to play up to their opponent and like, or then like just blow them out of the water. This is the best game they've played all year. Just complete, you know, both sides of the ball. Roethlisberger looked great, looked comfortable. The Browns panicked. You know, there's a point where like they're down 17 and like, you know, these days that's not a whole lot of points, especially in the first half. And Baker's, you know, throwing, you know, interceptions on third down, like off his back foot and just, I don't know. All I'll say is, you know, they're still 4-2. Yeah, it sucks to get embarrassed, on the road, both games, you know, on the road with Baltimore and, being in the Steel City. But I don't know. I hope they can learn from this and regroup. They've got Cincinnati coming up. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, that was a tough one. And I'll still say fuck Pittsburgh because, like, it's shit like this. It just, like, makes me hate them. Where, like, we both were like, okay, should be a good game from, like, based off of, like, what we've seen. And then it wasn't. It was just, like, a complete blowout. And the Browns can't really play, like, trailing. So there's that.
All right, that's a nice little recap you guys
did.
Move
on.
All right, we will do our famous, world famous segment, Tim Allen trivia. But we got to talk about the debate. I'm just kidding. Tim Allen trivia. I was stalling to grab my little cue card. I have the question wrote down. All right, this one is a Toy Story themed question. I feel like most of them has just been personal Tim Allen trivia and Home Improvement. Really haven't dove into his other works. So, which 90s star did Tim Allen nab the role of Buzz Lightyear from? So I gave you a little hint, 90s star. So, Bryce, I'll start with you.
Ooh,
you got a guess. Then Bobby.
Like, honestly, like, when I don't want to, like, ask for more hints because, like, and I'm stalling for Bobby to get this right, so because so he's thinking. I thought, like, gut wise, like Mel Gibson, like somebody like that, like, so yeah, fuck it. I'll say Mel Gibson. I know it's not completely that's like, or Tom Hanks obviously in it, but no, Mel Gibson, fuck it.
Okay, Bobby.
That I think this is the toughest one yet. 90s star. My first thought was Tom Hanks as well, but I was like, he plays Woody.
Yeah.
90s star.
I should have put, I should have put superstar. That might really, I mean, it doesn't help, I guess, that much more, but like.
Ooh, I wish I could take Mel Gibson back and say Jim Carrey.
But, that's a good one.
Yeah. Those are, I don't get credit 90, if it's right.
The biggest 90s superstar I can think of is Adam Sandler. So I'm going to go with Adam Sandler.
Damn. One of you guys nailed it. Bryce did on the redo. It was, in fact, Jim Carrey.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if Tim Allen just beat him. I guess I should have done a little more research there. But that was just a little blurb that I looked up. Because you hear stories all the time about, you know, some actors either turning down a role or getting beat out. You're like, man, that could have totally changed the complexion. Even though this was a kid's movie, I think Tim Allen was the right voice for it. But Jim Carrey's range is crazy. So,
yeah.
He could have pulled it off. But yeah, it was Jim Carrey.
Okay, good. You said, and I'm just thinking, like, yeah, 90s star. The fucking Mel Gibson. He's too cool for that shit.
Yeah, Adam Sandler was a great guess, too, though, because, I mean, you got to think, like, I thought one of you guys might guess, excuse me, Seinfeld, really.
That would have been great.
I mean, you just got to think.
That's a bad Jerry Seinfeld impression, too, so.
Oh, no! All right, let's jump in. Okay, let's jump into this Big Ten preview, how this is structured. As I've set up four tiers, I want you guys to react to this. If you got something to say about an individual team or an individual player, whatever, well, you can do that at the end of each tier. Or if you want to interrupt, go ahead. So I will start tier four. This is the basement. Basically, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but these teams, happy football's back, I guess, considering the circumstances of the season, but you know, they're not really going to leave a mark on this 2020 Big Ten season. So also these are teams I think will finish fifth or seventh, sixth, maybe even fifth in the division. So, all right, I got Rutgers, Maryland, Michigan State in the basement of the East. And I got the two Illinois schools, Illinois and Northwestern, in the basement. Bobby, I'll start with you. Any add, subtract, any thoughts on any of those?
Yeah, I'll almost swap out Michigan State. I completely agree with Rutgers and Maryland. They're just not Big Ten teams. They're not built for the Big Ten. So definitely agree with those two. Michigan State, I think they're going to have a rebound year this year. I'm going to swap them out for Indiana. And then in the West, I'm going to go Northwestern, Illinois, and I'm going to add Nebraska in there.
Oh, all right. Bryce, do you have anything here?
No, you honestly, like I have some things written down, like, you know, and kind of how I picked it. And yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I have Rutgers and Maryland just kind of circled trash, even right, though I am looking forward to Shiano, the Shiano man, there, in New Jersey. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do and maybe bring some little juice back to that program. But yeah, Northwestern doesn't have an offense, and you said Illinois, right, in the West. That's a part of this. They're definitely still the bottom feeders of the league. I think they're slightly better than Northwestern, even though I think Northwestern beat them last year. But they had one of the better wins in the conference last year by beating Wisconsin. So, you know, I think they're the best out of that tier. Illinois is for sure, but not by a whole lot, just because they can still sneak up and give you fits there in Champaign. So,
yeah, I'll circle back to two things. First, I'll start with Michigan State. The reason I had them down there, well, I do hate them, but I just think, you know, first-year head coach Mel Tucker, their recruiting really dipped under D'Antonio the last couple of years. I know they didn't recruit at, like, an extremely high level as it was. They were more of a developmental program. But he got in there, like, if you remember, that was kind of a late hire because D'Antonio kind of stepped down late, like, right before the pandemic. No spring practice.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, are they better than Rutgers and Maryland? I think on paper, yes, but, like, I don't know. I looked at their schedule, too. They draw Iowa, and I think – who else do they draw? Let's see, Iowa.
Northwestern.
I'm looking this up. Yeah, it is. So not a terrible draw, but I think Iowa beats them for sure. So Northwestern, I think, is actually comparable with them this year.
Yeah, and to add a little bit on Michigan State, like, I know they're still kind of figuring out quarterbacks that they lost, what, Lewerke last year? They've got a guy that, like, split time with him. I love his name, Rocky Lombardi,
yeah.
Yeah, I think he's an Ohio guy, actually, for some reason. I like every Michigan State quarterback is, but probably from Cleveland if I had to guess. But maybe I'm wrong there. I might be thinking of Lewerke. But anyway, I read something a while back where they talked about, like, maybe just having, like, this quarterback controversy just carry into the season, which, like, that's probably never a good idea unless it's, like, a plan thing. But, yeah, so there's a reason they're going to be a bottom feeder there in the East this year, I think.
Right. And we could kind of – well, I guess my second point, Rutgers, yeah, I do like the Shiano hire. I don't think they're going to be able to recreate the magic he had back in the Big East days with Shiano, but – they took on a lot of transfers this year, and that's just a program that it's going to take, you know, they're going to have to be patient 3-4 years for him to actually build a recruiting base and get his type of guys in there. But Bobby, one more thing, and then we'll move on to my tier three. Why do you have the Hoosiers down there in the bottom tier?
You know, I think they have that quarterback coming back. I can't think of his name.
Penix.
Yeah. He's a good quarterback, but he doesn't have anything to run. He doesn't have a guy like a Rondale Moore that he can consistently go to. I think they got a pretty tough schedule. They draw Wisconsin and Purdue. So obviously the Purdue rivalry game will obviously be big, and Wisconsin is the best team in the West division.
That's back-to-back weeks too.
Yeah, and then they still got to play Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State. I mean, I think that's 4-5 losses, including Wisconsin at least. So I could see them being 2-6, 1-7. They just don't have the athletes there. You know, they're the basketball school formerly of the basketball school of the Big Ten. And, you know, shortened year, not a whole lot of time to get together. I think that's just going to prove to be detrimental to them.
Okay. Fair enough. I just kind of surprised by that. All right, we'll go to my tier three team. Now, I only have three teams in this tier, and this is kind of the, you know, they're going to be plucky. There might be an entertainment quality with these teams. But, you know, when push comes to shove, they're not going to be in the basement, but they're not going to be fighting for a division crown. So, in the East, I do have Indiana. I'm way higher than Bobby is on the Hoosiers. Then I kind of got Purdue and Nebraska in this third tier. So, Bryce, I'll go to you next. Then Bobby, where would you have your kind of third tier, middle of the row, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I would probably even add maybe Iowa into that as well. If we're lumping everyone together,
that's fair.
Yeah. Kind of. So with Indiana, I actually like what Tom Allen, right? Tom Allen's doing. They went 8-5 last year. I think made a bowl. I think lost a Gator Bowl. Penix obviously he doesn't have the weapons around him, but like the dude's been there for a year or two, and like I don't know, I'm kind of high on them a little bit this year. I'm not saying they're gonna go out and like win the East or even like you know beat Michigan, like beat like I don't know, be above Michigan, but they might beat Michigan. I mean, like I could see like something like that happening. They've been close recently. They also had a really young defense last year, and I think they get a lot of those guys back. So we'll see. Nebraska, yeah, we can talk about them. Is Frost ever going to like get back to like recruiting the way like Nebraska did? I mean, there's so much shit around that. But the answer is no, he doesn't have his guys yet. They just named, was it Adrian? Is it Adrian Martinez, right? That's their.
Yeah.
Well, they had Martinez there like a couple years ago too, that I always like think about, but I don't know. Just not like super impressed with him. Again, have to play Columbus in Columbus first week. That's a tough draw. And then what you mentioned, Purdue, right? Purdue is in that tier as well. Obviously getting Rondale Moore back, that certainly helps. They got a receiver, I think David Bell is his name. He's not bad. So Purdue again, like as a Buckeye fan, like definitely don't want to play them over there. You know, honestly, Purdue's just been a thorn in our side for a while. So I'll respect them. But the reason I talked about Iowa is just because they lost Nate Stanley. Is it Epinesa, right?
And yeah, the Russian.
Yeah, yep. Right. And then Wirfs, Tristan, what's his name? Wirfs, the tackle they lost, who's playing, is a first rounder. But they've lost a lot. I just like don't know what's going to happen over there. Plus, we didn't really talk about it, but they've got kind of like this dark cloud around their program right now with like all these lawsuits and shit. So I'm like, I don't know if that's going to play a part of it. Like, are people like wanting to transfer out of there? Like, what's the vibe? And what, Iowa City? Yeah, what's the vibe in Iowa City? So I don't know. So I think having them in there as well would be all right.
Yeah, Bobby, go ahead here.
Yeah, like I had Indiana in the basement. I got Michigan State here in the East. You know, I think the new coach coming in, Mel Tucker, he's had a great success as a coordinator. You know, it's tough coming in that late with a recruiting class. You didn't recruit, basically. Like I said, same thing with Indiana. They're going to have problems not having that time together all fall, all summer. But I feel like they draw a pretty good schedule. Looking at that, obviously, getting Ohio State at home kind of helps. It's usually a night game up there, so, and they always have that aura about them where they can win a 17-14 game or something like that. And then getting Northwestern and Iowa as your Western Conference opponents, you know, I feel like that's two easy wins there. And then the rest of their rivalry games, Michigan and Penn State, you can never count them out on that. I see them kind of as like a 4-4. So I don't see them as like a 2-win team. So that's kind of why I had them there. And then I had Iowa and Purdue in that same category in the West there. Iowa, I don't see a good year for them. I see them beating the Northwesterns, the Nebraska, the Illinois. And I think the best thing, like Bryce said, you know, they have the scandal surrounding them right now. You don't know how that's going to play with current players, how they're going to feel if they have to become part of that after they graduate. So I feel like the best thing to come out of Iowa this year is just them waving to the kid before every game they get at home. And Purdue, I don't know if Jeff Brohm is going to be able to be there for the first game or not yet. I haven't seen anything on that.
I heard that Brian Brohm,
his brother, right? He calls.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be the acting head coach at least for, their opener. I guess they're at Iowa to open up the season Saturday.
Yeah. So I like what Brohm's done there. You know, they upset Ohio State a few years ago. They've also had some real bad losses in that same time frame. You know, it was tough for them. Rondale Moore said he was not going to come out this year. He's going to prepare for the draft. Then he comes back, snip, snap, snip, snap. The kid's just an all-around playmaker. He reminds me of like a better Percy Harvin at this time of his career right now. I feel like he's going to have a pretty good
year. Percy Harvin was really good.
But Percy Harvin also had a lot more around him, and he didn't have to do it all on his own. And Rondale Moore basically carries this team. So I feel like he's going to have a good year. I could see him being the running for the best receiver of the year. I don't think anybody's going to beat Jalen Waddle from Alabama for that, though. But Purdue, I wanted to put them the next tier up, but I just couldn't do it, just their schedule. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Real quick, I just gave Nebraska, circling back, I just gave Nebraska, well, mainly Scott Frost, the benefit of the doubt. Do I think they got a chance to win the West? No, but I do think the West could be jumbled in the middle. Would it surprise me if either Northwestern or Illinois in the bottom tier finished third or fourth? Not really. I think you're kind of splitting hairs. I think maybe I would agree with, if I had to redo my list, my tiers, I think I'd agree with you guys that Iowa probably should have been knocked down, but Kirk Ferentz,
they're safe.
They're solid every year, year in, year out. So I gave them the benefit of the doubt. I love Purdue, except at the quarterback spot. Offensively, I don't worry about it, although they do have 9 starters returning. Well, if you count Jack Plummer getting time last year at their quarterback spot, but he wasn't their day one starter. But they might have the 2 best tackles defensively in the entire league. Lorenzo Neal and Anthony Watt, just 2 big 310 pounds. Neal's 315 and Watt's 320. They're not going to get hardly any recognition. But, we've gushed over Moore, and I agree with both you guys. He's electrifying, but I like Brom. I think last year they took a little step back. I think a lot of people had them as a trendy pick, just going off the strong first season or second season he had there when they knocked off Ohio State. I love Indiana this year. Now, does that mean it's kind of a different year? I don't know. I agree they could maybe beat Michigan this year, but I love Penix. He's got to stay healthy. You got 2 receivers returning, Ty Freifogel and Wop Fillier, 2 seniors that they're unsung, not going to get any headlines, be on hardly any, Biletnikoff Award watch list or anything like that, but they're good. And then they get Stevie Scott back. Indiana, the last few years, I know Jordan Howard was a transfer, but they developed Tevin Coleman, and Jordan Howard got drafted out of there. I think Stevie Scott, he's a sophomore, he's hurt last year. He ran for 1,100 yards as a true freshman 2 years ago. He's good. Tom Allen brings that defensive mentality. And it's not one of our main games, but they're a 6.5-point dog at home. 3:30, Penn State comes to town.
I like that game. I think it's going to be a fun game.
Yeah, I might lock up the Hoosiers there. I'm not saying they're going to win the game outright, but I think they can. So I'm very, very high on IU. I'm ready to move on to tier 2, not unless you guys have anything left to add.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Tier 2 for me, I kind of label it as like climbing the staircase, teams that are scratching, clawing for a division crown or at Ohio State if you're talking about the East. So I did have Iowa in there, but I might bump that down after you guys' argument, but I have the Gophers of Minnesota. I have the Wisconsin Badgers, Penn State, and Michigan. And then, like I said, I had Iowa in there. So I'll go to Bobby here. That tier 2, what do you think? How would you rank it, I guess, in your thoughts?
The tier 2, the 2 teams I have in this tier play this first week in Michigan and Minnesota. I think both of these teams are right on par with each other. Minnesota, rowing the boat. They've made a huge comeback in recent years. Knocked off Penn State last year. Looked awesome. Beat Auburn in the Outback Bowl. So that was cool to see them. I really like PJ Fleck as a head coach. I think he's going to move on to bigger and better things here in the next year or two. If he has sustained success at Minnesota, like he was able to do at Western Michigan and get them to a Cotton Bowl berth. I think they lost Rashad Bateman. I think he opted out and hasn't opted back in.
No,
he's back in.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes me like him even more. I think they got their quarterback coming back too. You know, I think the 7:30 game on Saturday night, I think that's a good one to start the Big Ten off with. I know some of the other ones you had, like your Ohio State and Nebraska, we all know that's going to go. This one, Battle for the Little Brown Jug, I could see it going either way. You know, Michigan, up and down, especially in the last 3 years, you know, they hit that 10-win mark or they're around the 8-win mark some years. I think my biggest concern with Michigan is possibly not knowing who their starting quarterback is going to be. I think the front runner right now is Milton.
He's definitely going to be the starter.
So
because McCaffrey opted out, right, supposedly. So,
and I'm looking at their roster right now, and they've got 8 quarterbacks, and they still have McCaffrey on there, so 7. So I feel like he looks the most athletic if I had to look off their pictures. I really like their receiver, Ronnie Bell. I think he's going to have a huge year. He torched Notre Dame last year and was like, yeah, this kid's going to be good. Good thing we don't play them again for 12 years or something like that.
It's forever.
Yeah. And then I like Michigan's defense. I think they're going to have a good year. I feel like last year was the year they were supposed to be closest to Ohio State, and we saw how that ended up. This year, I don't see them being as close. I see another blowout game. So that's kind of disappointing because, you know, when Ohio State wins it every year, it's kind of boring. There's no, like, real hate anymore. Like,
it's not boring.
Yeah. There's not really, like, any – like, you don't see the hate that you used to, like, when we were growing up. Like, when Michigan – they'd swap wins every year. I really want to see that game get closer. And, you know, I feel like if this is a top 10 matchup at the end of the year, would they move that 12 o'clock start time? I know that's usually the traditional start time. But, you know, Ohio State and Michigan under the lights in Ohio State, I feel like the last time that happened was 1-2. So I'd like to see that again, like a game on that level where it actually means something. But those are kind of the two teams I have in that area there.
All right, Bryce, what about you?
Okay, so we're talking about Minnesota, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan. Is that what we're talking about?
That's my tier. I mean, do you agree, or would you have a different your thoughts?
I do. You know, again, kind of, you know, Bobby made a lot of good points. Minnesota, again, I love the momentum Flex got going up there, rowing the boat. Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman talk about like a 1-2, like 1-2 punch, like great tandem. Bateman's going to be a star in the NFL. Wisconsin, they think they return their quarterback. Again, generic white guy name. I think it's like Jack Cohn.
He is back, so you're right, but he has an injury. I think it's a foot or something. So I think Graham Mertz, I think he's like the 4th rated quarterback in his recruiting class, like basically the highest recruit I think Wisconsin's ever got. I think he's going to be penciled in as the starter. And I think Cone could be out. I mean, I haven't heard an exact time date, but I know for at least the opener, but it sounds like it could be maybe a season thing, which everybody's getting a free year this year. So, I mean,
sure.
But yeah.
But still, you know, they lost what, Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Quintez Cephas last year, you know, big part of their offense. Their running backs, I think they're just going to go probably like platoon and just probably have 2 or 3 guys there that are going to be going. And then once they find their guy, they'll stick with them. But it's going to be tough replacing somebody that's like done such a great job in the Big Ten, like Jonathan Taylor, and is obviously translating on Sunday. So, and then Michigan, yeah, Joe Milton, I think he's going to be a star. Like, I think this is like this is my gut that, you know, that they're finally got their dude. I think he's going to be good. I mean, I'm always seeing like this, what, Cam Newton comparison, like that'll be crazy if so, like, but what's the defensive tackle? Is it Quiddy Pay? Is that his name? Am I making that up?
You broke up. What'd you say?
The defensive tackle there for Michigan, Quiddy Pay?
Yeah, he's a DN, but yeah.
Oh, DN, yeah, he's a badass. He's tough, but yeah, I would have Michigan under Penn State. And with talking Penn State, without Micah Parsons, they still have tons of talent, you know, on both sides of the ball. Love is a Pat Freiermuth, Shaka Tony, defensive end, and Sean Clifford, their quarterback. I really liked him coming into Columbus last year, and he didn't really get rattled. He played a hell of a game against the Buckeyes, and I think he's got that, like, Penn State, like, moxie for a quarterback, like, exactly what they're looking for. So, yeah, I think that would sit well with the tiers there. And then, obviously, we'll talk about Ohio State, but.
Yeah, I'm just going to run through Michigan real quick. They lose Ambry Thomas and Nico Collins, both to the NFL draft, you know, a little indecisive. Or the indecision with the season kind of screwed that up. But offensively, if Milton is good and is kind of that Harbaugh-type quarterback, I guess in the 2020 version, not saying he's Andrew Luck or anything like that, but he does have a lot of weapons that I think a lot of people don't know their names. But Bobby brought up Ronnie Bell. He's actually our leading receiver with Collins on the team last year, and DPJ. Love Ronnie Bell. They got a couple slot guys, Giles Jackson, Mike Sainishrill. Roman Wilson, a freshman out of Hawaii, played the same high school Tua did, as a name to watch out for. I love our running backs this year, too. Charbonnet, he dealt a little injury from high school last year, all year last year. And it was weird. I think he had 33 carries in the Army game, then a week later had 3 carries against Wisconsin. So I definitely think he re-aggravated something there. But Hassan Haskins had a hell of a game against Illinois and Notre Dame last year. Blake Corum, a freshman. I love this kid's tape. He's out of Maryland. They were a hell of a – I forget the name of the school, but hell of a school. Offensive line, you got to replace 4 starters. You have 4 NFL draft picks, but – you get Jalen Mayfield back at right tackle. But the one thing Harbaugh has done that he has re-solidified the offensive line in recruiting. We got depth there. So whoever they plug in and play, I'm pretty set there. D-line should be good. You mentioned Quiddy Pay, Aiden Hutchinson on the other end. Both those guys could be high NFL picks. I worry about the tackles inside a little bit. Not a lot of depth. We didn't have a lot of depth last year. Linebackers, Cam McGrim, he's kind of that, you know, Devin Bush mold as one of those sideline backers. Not as good as Devin Bush. In the secondary, Dax Hill, if he is that star safety, I think the corner concerns I have might be null and void, I guess. Especially Dax, the type of guy who could line up and take a slot, man coverage in the nickel situation. But I don't know. I think I like – if Milton pans out, I think I like them to finish second in the East. I'm biased, of course, but I know Penn State has a lot of talent, but Michigan gets them in the big house, and it seems like they swap wins the last 4 or 5 years. It seems like whoever's at home wins, and it's kind of a blowout. I do worry about this opener. We'll get to that in a little bit. So if you guys are ready, we can move on to the final tier.
Ready to go.
All right. Top of the mountain, I mean, self-explanatory. Ohio State, I do think the Buckeyes are clear-cut, head and shoulders above the rest of the conference. I don't know if it's quite the Clemson gap that they have. I guess we'll find out with the Notre Dame-Clemson game, but I guess traditionally speaking, the last few years, Clemson's just been that much better than the rest of the ACC. I don't know if Ohio State's there on the Big Ten just yet, but it's pretty freaking close. That's my only team in Tier 1. I imagine Bobby, I don't think he mentioned Penn State or Wisconsin, so I think they would be in your top tier.
Yep. Yeah, Wisconsin, strictly for the fact that, you know, they're the most consistent team in the West out there. Jim Leonard has a great defense. He finds a way to do it every year. I think you guys mentioned the Wisconsin quarterback situation. if Jack Cohn's playing, I think they're tough to beat. I know they lose Jonathan Taylor, but it's like they fill in a guy every year. Melvin Gordon, Monte Ball, Jonathan Taylor. The list goes on and on. They get an easy draw with their East teams. Toughest game on the East is Michigan. They play Indiana as well. So I feel like they're right there. Next, I would have Penn State. They get the early test in week two against Ohio State, and then their schedules kind of plays out where they could win out and from there on. So that's going to be their toughest game. Freiermuth and Clifford, both awesome players. I think both of them are going to be in the first three rounds of the draft next year at least. Clifford could be – he could be a project player. He could sit behind a starter for a few years, learn. I think he's going to fill in perfectly in there. And then obviously Ohio State's at the top. They get the best recruits. It's just unreal, like the amount of talent they have, like the talent gap between them and the Penn State and Wisconsin. They're both in that same tier, but Ohio State's just like one step higher on that tier for me.
Yeah, Bryce, talk about your Buckeyes. Damn it.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, you understand, like, why Ohio State wanted to play this year because, like, they're, again, I don't know. I'll start rambling if I don't stick to, like, offense or defense. So, here we go. I'll start off offensively. You know, they lose two offensive linemen, but they insert them two five-star, recruits, one from Florida, one from Georgia. I think they won't miss a beat. Wyatt Davis coming back is obviously huge.
Yeah, that was.
Him and Josh Myers in the middle. They're just going to wreck dudes all year. So, again, how do we replace Carlos Hyde with Ezekiel Elliott? How do we do that, with Zeke? Well, it's Mike Weber. You know, it seems like they just always find guys that are equal or if not better. And then J.K. Dobbins is tough. I'm going to miss watching him play. But they're going to do, probably split 50-50 with Trey Sermon from the transfer from Oklahoma who really flashed for them. I think Oklahoma wishes they had him back this year. And then Master Teague, who was able to really recover quickly with an Achilles injury. So I think they'll have the production there. And then obviously Fields is a great quarterback. Hopefully he makes some progression even more from his freshman year. Last year was his sophomore year, into his junior year. Wide receivers, they've got Chris Olave back. They've got the kid from Austin,
Wilson.
Garrett Wilson. They'll be fine there. They've got tons of talent. They've got a kid named Jameson Williams. He would be like a guy to like watch out for. I think he'll get like tons of playing time this year with the departure of like KJ Hill, Ben Victor, those guys. So really looking forward to watching him play. When he would play, honestly, when I would see him run, looked like Ted Ginn. And that's something like I just don't throw around a lot. He has like the long legs. He's fast and it just looks easy. So defensively, losing a lot with Okuda, a couple first round draft picks, Chase Young, obviously, Damon Arnett. Jordan Fuller. But I think our secondary is going to be just fine. Sean Wade coming back again, opting back in is huge. He's going to play outside corner this year. We've got a kid by the name of Marcus Hooker. Does that last name sound familiar? Because it's his younger brother. Malik's younger brother is going to be playing safety for us. And then Seven Bakes, Cam Brown, Marcus Williamson, all four-star kids. We'll fill right in and why am I blanking on his name? Kerry Combs coming back from the Titans, coming back to be a defensive coordinator is huge. He's going to develop those guys and turn them into first rounders like he always does. So, I mean, again, it's theirs to lose. If I had to say like a weakness, I would say it's our interior defensive line. Losing Devon Hamilton. He was a badass, and we've got a kid named Antoine Jackson, a JUCO transfer who played last year, and then Haskell Garrett got shot in the face. So he's supposed to – he was breaking up a domestic fight or some shit, and he got shot in the face, like through his like through his cheeks of his mouth or something.
Jesus.
Yeah. But he's like probably going to play here in a week or two. So tough kid.
I imagine Harrison, the big time recruit, just steps in.
Yeah.
For the Chase Young role. Right.
Yep. Zach Harrison definitely got Tyreek Smith. He Jonathan Cooper, John Baptiste or something like that. I forget his name, but he's a dude. Larry Johnson's going to have like eight dudes rotating on the ends, and then Tyler Friday. He's a defensive end, but might roll inside just to give depth at like the three technique. So. Yeah, I don't know. And our linebackers are, again, we didn't lose a whole lot. Tough Borland's still there. Pete Werner, they've been there for years, it seems. And then Baron Browning, a five-star kid from Texas who played a lot last year. He's somebody that could jump up there and be a first-rounder. He's a freak. He can run. He's good in pass coverage. But he finally gets a shot at a full-time gig here after what's his name? Fuck. He went to Baltimore. He's there. Linebacker for Baltimore. I can't think of his name. Kid from Columbus. Anyway, yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. Finally, we can talk about it.
All right, real quick, and then we'll pick division winners and a champ. I got some win totals real quick. You guys say over, under, if you would bet it or stay away. For the entire conference, real quick, Rutgers over 1.5 wins. By the way, this is accounting for the bonus game during the championship weekend. So, okay. Rutgers, 1.5, over, under. Bobby, Bryce, what do you say?
Under.
I'll say over. Over.
Bobby.
I got under. They're going over, I think.
Okay. Maryland, 2.5.
Under.
Give me the over on Maryland on that one.
Okay. Purdue, 3.5.
Over.
I'll go over as well.
Michigan State, 3.5.
Under.
I'm going to go over.
Okay, Illinois, 3.5.
Under.
Yeah, big under.
Northwestern, 4.
Under.
Under.
Nebraska, 5.
Well under.
Iowa, 5.
I'd say 5.
So they're an exact push. 5.
Push it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd take the over on that.
Okay. Indiana, 5.5.
Ooh. Over. Under.
Okay. Minnesota, 6.5.
Over.
I'm going to say under on Minnesota, even though I was high on them.
Michigan, 6.5.
Over.
I'm going to go under.
Wisconsin, 7.
Under.
Over.
Penn State, 7.5.
Over.
Under on that.
And Ohio State, 8.5.
Yeah, they get past Penn State week two. I think they run it again.
I was going to say 8.5, and I forgot you said that they count the championship game. So, yeah. Give me the over.
Well, usually on a win title, they don't count any bowl game or championship game. It's just their schedule. But when you throw out an 8.5 with an 8-game schedule, they're counting that bonus game. Those were FanDuel sportsbook lines, or those win totals. High State's minus 240 to win the conference. Penn State's plus 600. Wisconsin's plus 1,000. Michigan plus 650. Minnesota plus 3,000. Everybody else is plus 5,000. Well, Iowa's 2,500. So everybody's 2,500 or above. Rutgers gets you plus 50,000.
So
you wanna, Yeah. All right, let's jump into week 8 of college football. It is week 8. We'll go through some of these big games. I already gave my prediction on it. Let's start with that number 8 Penn State at Indiana. You guys have any thoughts on it? Bobby,
I'll just be quick on it. I think Penn State's going to come out of the gate hot, ready to go. James Franklin's going to have them ready. I think they're going to hammer them. I got Penn State like 35-10.
This is on the road for Penn State in Bloomington.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough week one. I know there's no fans. I'm not saying like the fans have anything to do with it, but it just seems like I remember Ohio State played over there like on a Thursday night a couple years ago, and Indiana gave them all they wanted. So I don't know. I think Penn State wins the game, but it's going to be maybe one of those where they have to claw back and win the game late. So I'll say, what's the spread on that?
6.5.
6.5. Yeah. Give me the Hoosiers.
All right, let's go to an ACC game. That's a top 25 matchup right now. The 4-1 Wolfpack, 23rd ranked NC State at the 14th ranked North Carolina Tar Heels. Tar Heels coming off that loss to Florida State, now 3-1. North Carolina, 15.5 point favorite. Bryce, do you have any thoughts? Then Bobby.
I really haven't seen both of these teams play. Obviously, that was a shocker last week with, you know, what they missed a field goal late. Is that what happened? Or how did that end? Like, well, 20-31, right? Florida State beat them. Did they miss a field goal, or was it like
– I don't know. I didn't watch it. I just saw that Florida State, they were up like – was it 31-7 or something like that? I'm just like, Jesus. So, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I guess that's the ACC for you any given Saturday. I don't know. Again, it's hard for me to like pick one or the other. Is it in Raleigh at North Carolina State?
No, it's Chapel Hill. Ooh. North Carolina's hosting.
Okay. I'll take the Tar Heels then.
Yeah, as a lifelong ACC fan, kind of saw Florida State. they played Notre Dame tough in the first half a couple weeks ago. You could see some things happening for them. I didn't expect them to beat North Carolina at all. I figured that they were just going to go down again. So that was surprising. I think North Carolina bounces back. I feel like Mac Brown's kind of in there. You're like, you know, we can't afford to lose any more games. Like, you know, one game loss gets us second place possibly in the ACC, especially with no divisions this year and just a 14-team league. And I haven't seen anything of NC State. I know they're 23rd. They're 4-1. They beat Pitt and a few, and I think BC as well. But North Carolina wins this rivalry game, I believe, since they're playing at home.
Yeah, I'll roll with the Tar Heels. I wouldn't touch the spread though, because interesting AAC matchup, number 9. Cincinnati 3-0. They will travel to Dallas. They'll take on the Ponies of SMU. SMU, 16th ranked team in the country. They are 5-0. 2.5 point favorite. This is an ESPN2 game. 9 Eastern time kickoff late Saturday night. I love the Stangs this year. I love Shane Bichelle. I think Cincinnati's offense is the weakest, you know, thing into this game. I know Desmond Ritter's okay. Fickle does a good job defensively. They're tough, but give me the Ponies at home. Bobby, how
yeah,
say you?
Yeah, I mean, Bryce. You said it. Fickle and former Buckeye Marcus Freeman, who's their defensive coordinator down there, they run a real good scheme down there, a real tight ship. You know, I think Fickle, you know, he had that awful year at Ohio State when he was the intern, then kind of learned.
Bring him back.
Kind of learned how to be a coach from Urban, and then got the chance at Cincinnati, and he's making the most of it. But like you said, SMU's just awesome this year. And I think I don't know if they've lost one game. I think they did lose one. I watched them play against Tulane, and that was a really good game. So I'm going to go with the Pony Express as well.
Yeah, that makes 3 of us. It seems like Fickle, I don't know, like Cincinnati struggles like on the road. You know, if this was at the NIP, I'd pick Cincinnati, but I think home field advantage, just traveling and getting there. And I don't know, like, if that's going to be I don't know, like, if Texas is going to do, like, what they've been doing and having people in the stands, but that might just be enough to where it could end up getting – I don't say getting ugly, but who knows. I think the Mustangs went comfortably.
All right, two or three more games. Number 17, Iowa State, 3-1. The Cyclones travel to Stillwater, take on the 6th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys, 3:30 Eastern time on Fox, a 3.5-point favorite. Is Mike Gundy and his Pokes. Bryce, I'll start with you again. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, I think somebody's got to be good in the Big 12 this year. So fuck it. Why not the Cowboys? You know, I like Iowa State, but they're not playing at night and they're not playing at home. So, give me the man who's probably 50 now.
I'm 50
because he's fat. I love that. My wife and I fucking watch that video. I'm not kidding. Like once a month, like seriously, like we quote that shit all the time. It's an all time favorite. Like when I watched it like live happening, I just remember sitting there like with my jaw like just wide open, being like, "This is the greatest thing I've ever seen." So anyway, I think Oklahoma State keeps it rolling until we get to Bedlam, and then Oklahoma will beat them like they always do. So yep. Give me the Cowboys.
I think this will be the first of two meetings this year for these teams. I feel like the second time will be in the Big 12 championship game. And this one, I'm gonna roll with Iowa State. I like what they do. I like their scheme, Matt Campbell. You know, they had the early loss to Louisiana. Chalk it up to whatever you want. They came back, beat Oklahoma. Just been on a roll since. Oklahoma State, I don't think they've played in a few weeks. I'm gonna be sure. Yeah, they had bye week because of the COVID with Baylor. So I think they're going to be a little rusty coming out, and I think Iowa State's going to have that preparation ready to go.
Yeah, I'm going with you, Bobby. Brock Purdy, I got kind of a thing for Brock Purdy, Iowa State quarterback. I think he's really good. Last year, though, in this game, he threw three crippling fourth-quarter interceptions. So maybe, you know, he has a little, you know, revenge on his mind, some individual revenge to play. But, yeah, this could be kind of a preview, a de facto, like, part one of the Big 12 championship game. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. All right. Me and Bobby will get out of your way after our quick predictions here, Bryce, and then you can talk about your game. Your Buckeyes host the Cornhuskers in Nebraska, Ohio State laying 26 points right now. Big noon kickoff on Fox. Ohio State rolls. They covered, hammered the over two probably. Bobby, you
agree. I'll be able to go get some shopping done since nobody will be out at the malls watching the game or anything. They'll be watching it. So nobody will be out. Go get your shopping done, your groceries. Nobody will be in the stores here in Columbus. This game's over in the first quarter.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Again, this is like where I miss, you know, us playing Bowling Green and like seeing other teams play each other, like just to like have something to go off of and be like, not just say Ohio State's going to kick the shit out of the Cornhuskers, because I think that's what's probably going to happen. But it might not. It might take a while. It might take a little bit just to kind of get some rust off. You know, we kind of saw early with other teams. I mean, not saying Clemson like stumbled a little bit, but like, you know, they didn't look. I don't say they didn't look amazing. They've looked really good this year, but I don't know. I mean, I just think they're hungry. I think they're like just really glad they're playing. I think that's going to go a long way. Like I think I saw where like no band, no Brutus, no cheerleaders. I don't think that's going to make a huge difference. Playing at home's big, so I don't know. Give me Ohio State and by give. I don't know if they cover here. Though I could see it like being relatively close and like making mistakes and doing this and doing that, but again, I don't have really much to go off of except for like the fact that they've got a great offensive line, a great quarterback, and skill players all over the place. So yeah, I think they win. I know they win, but I don't know if it's going to be 28 points.
All right, final game of the college slate. The Little Brown Jug is on the line. College game day, College game day will be there. The 104th all-time meeting for the Little Brown Jug, Michigan at Minnesota. The Wolverines come in ranked 18th, whatever that's worth right now. Minnesota's 21st ranked team in the country, 7:30 Eastern time. ABC is where you can catch it. Michigan, a 3-point favorite. out there at the Bryce, you hate Michigan. It's part of your DNA. What do you think is going to happen in this one?
Yeah, it is part of my DNA, again, just because, like, you lived through the 90s and you saw, like, how much
– What a time.
Pain. Yeah, like, that sucked. I don't want to ever have to go there again. Like, anyway, yeah, I'm excited for this matchup. I think it's going to be great. I think with quarterbacks, you know, again, I say this all, like, every week probably, quarterback play in college is so important. I think Tanner Morgan gets the job done. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this Milton show, though. I'm excited to see what he has to bring to the table. I love watching Michigan play. Like, don't get me wrong. It's like, I'm looking forward to this game more than I'm watching, like, more, you know, more excited about, like, them instead of noon with the Cornhuskers. So, yeah, give me the Gophers.
Yeah. I think this is just, like, the perfect nightcap to what feels like the first normal college football Saturday. Got every conference that matters playing. A lot of great games. This one, you know, with Minnesota's resurgence the last few years, them playing at home under the lights, I think we're going to see them come out ready to roll. I think it's going to be a close game up until the fourth quarter. And then I got Michigan pulling it out late.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what Bryce said about the Ohio State game. There's so much that's not known yet, and it's so hard to gauge. Minnesota, I think they bring back all five offensive linemen. They were massive up front, and honestly, the interior at the tackle positions is my biggest concern on the defense for Michigan. Also, corner. And Rashad Bateman can be very scary to go up against. So the experience of Tanner Morgan there at home, it might sound like I'm trying to reverse jinx myself. Maybe a little part of me is, but I don't understand. Well, I guess I kind of do. Michigan's probably more of a bigger brand, so that's probably why they're favored here. But I think the wrong team's favored here. I think I'm going to be very salty. Saturday, in fact, is my 32nd birthday, so I would love nothing more than Michigan starting out 1-0, taking back the brown jug. But if I put my neutral cap on, I don't think that's going to happen. But maybe Joe Milton comes in, and he's the 6'5", 245-pound dual-threat stud that some Michigan blogs are already touting as the next great hope. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think the Gophers' experience – I know they lost some off their defense. I think it might be a little bit of a high-scoring game, and both teams maybe miss some tackles and stuff like that. But I think the Gophers take back the jug, unfortunately. I did forget to write down your game, Bobby, so to finish up the college stuff. Your number three Irish are at Pitt, 10.5-point favorite, 3:30 Eastern time on ABC real quick.
I just want to blow a team out once, not have to win 12-7. It just does wonders for my health when that happens. This is always a tough game for Notre Dame. I don't know why Pitt always plays this tough. I just don't get it. They're not that good. I know they had a couple good years in the 70s. Irish just need to run the ball. You know, we got to get our passing game going before we play Clemson. These next 2 weeks against Pitt and Georgia Tech are a great time to get that going. But run the ball, get that established, get the score up early, and then try to work on that. So, I mean, just win. I mean, you got a big one November 7th. You have a chance to shut everyone up. Just get to there, win that game, and keep rolling.
All right, let's move real quick, and then we'll finish out the podcast. Week 7 NFL. Panthers 3-3 at the 3-2 Saints. Saints 7.5-point favorite. Bryce, who you got?
Saints. Fuck it. I'm Saints. Yeah, I'll take the Saints there. I got nothing else to say about that game.
Saints too, Bobby.
I need Emmanuel Sanders to keep getting points stacked up for me for fantasy so I can get out of the winless bottom basement.
All right. 5-0 Seahawks at the 4-2 Cardinals, Seattle. 3.5-point favorite, 4:05 Fox kick. I gotta go dangerous. I'll take Russ and
yeah,
Seahawks.
Give me the birds
Bobby,
as well. And, the ones from Seattle.
I was like, wait a second. They're both birds. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. Like, they might run away with this fucking the whole league and just and win it all. I did see something where Antonio Brown like could
become,
you know,
a Seahawk.
That's fucking scary. So, anyway, yeah, give me the Seahawks there.
All right, Buccaneers 4-2 at the 3-2. Las Vegas Raiders, Sunday Night Football, Tampa Bay, a 3.5-point favorite. Bobby,
I'll say it's a travesty that this is the Sunday night game and not 2 5-0 teams in Pittsburgh and Tennessee. Vegas has looked strong. They go into Kansas City and beat them. Getting it at home, I'm not sure if they're getting fans back yet or not. I think having to travel out west for Tampa Bay, Raiders at home. Like I said earlier this year, I like what Gruden's doing. He's finally got his guys and it's rolling. So I'm going to go with the Raiders.
Damn. Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a little letdown game from Brady after that big win, which was like insane. I think you guys called it, right? I was like, fuck it. I don't know how Green Bay loses that game. And then like they get blown out. So, you know, I'm excited to see Gronk keep building off of what he did last week, but, God, throw the ball to fucking Mike Evans, please. Please. Like, I need that. Need that shit. But, yeah, give me the Raiders at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tampa. I know the Raiders are coming off a bye. I don't know. I mean, I like Gruden. I just don't know if I trust Derek Carr. Final game, and then we'll get to our games to close it out. Monday night, actual good matchup on paper. The 5-1 Bears at the 4-2 Rams. Rams laying 6 points. Yeah, I think I go Rams and maybe cover, so stay away from it. I'll take the Rams win. Bryce, how say you?
The Bears. I'll take whatever they're doing up there. It's fucking crazy. I don't get it, but, I know I was like really low on them at the beginning of the year, so I'll ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, whatever they're doing, they find ways to win games that they have no business winning. You know, Foles is doing just enough. You know, play call's good. Their defense is stellar as always the last few years. So give me the Bears.
All right. I'll start with my team's game. The 49ers get back to level 3-3. They will go to New England, take on the 2-3 Patriots. Patriots 2.5-point favorite, 425 CBS game. I don't know. I mean, I think Cam's back. Who knows? Fucking probably take the Patriots to win. This is just going to be an up and down season that probably gets to 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, and maybe like the 7th wild card spot. So we'll move on. Bryce, your Browns will go to Cincinnati, 1 Eastern time on CBS. 3-point favorite on the road are the Browns. What's going to happen?
Yeah, man. Here's the thing. Like, this could be our season right here. Because if they go down to Cincinnati and like fucking shit the bed, which like they certainly have done many times before. Even when the Browns are like clearly better, they split with the Bengals, and it's stupid. The fact they're playing them early, I'm kind of glad that like getting out of the way before the bye week and everything. I just hope they got the wake up call they needed. Kind of replicate what they did against them week two and run the ball. I know Chubb's not playing still. You know, they're starting to get a little healthier here and there. They gotta get out to a lead, and they gotta pressure Burrow, which shouldn't be hard because again, the Bengals offensive line is really, really bad. They did surprise the hell out of me last week against the Colts. They should have won that game, and they blew it down the stretch. So I hope they go in there, don't fuck around, but who am I kidding? If they lose, get ready for Baker to, like, I don't say he's not going to get traded or anything, but, I mean, just wait. Like, shit's going to get bad. I'm going to be very, very upset. So, but I'll stick with the Browns. I think they'll win. I think they're the better team. So, yeah, let's hope that was a wake-up call last week.
All right, final NFL game of the week, 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers at the 5-0. Tennessee coronavirus positive test Titans. Titans currently 1-point favorite, 1 Eastern time on CBS. Bryce, I'll go, then you, and then Bobby. You okay. Empty your notebook on your team, but I don't know, because two key injuries on both sides with both teams, with Lawan and Bush. I don't know if Roethlisberger can throw the ball down the field anymore. I don't really believe in the Titans yet. So I guess I think Pittsburgh's the more consistent historically. This seems like a win or a game they go in and win ugly. So I think I'd take Pittsburgh. What about you?
Yeah, I think if this would have been last week, I was like, you know, I think the Titans win easily. But after seeing like what Pittsburgh did against the Browns, if they can, you know, replicate that or whatever, you know, I think they absolutely have a shot to win. Derrick Henry's a fucking badass. Like, good God, if they can stop him, they win. So I think that's they just got to slow him down, which easier said than done. But yeah, I think the Steelers remain unbeaten. Unfortunately, as a Browns fan.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and wrap it up. Tyler, like you mentioned, two injuries on each side. Bush in the middle for the Steelers defense, and then Lawan left the tackle for the Titans. I feel like it's going to be tougher for the Titans than it is for the Steelers, just because the Steelers' defensive line, outside linebackers make up so much. And that our middle linebackers really only just there for mostly to call the defense and cover the tight end and coverage. You know, we have a great run defense. And, you know, we shut down Kareem Hunt. You know, we let Miles Sanders against the Eagles go for a little bit. We shut down Saquon Barkley week one. But Derrick Henry's like the first guy that like, damn, this guy is stellar. He's just as big as our defensive players. So I feel like if he gets the outside on us, I think he's going to have a huge day. This feels like a game that Pittsburgh loses every year. You know, all good things do come to an end. You know, one of these teams has to lose unless they tie like the Bengals and the Eagles again. But I want to pick Pittsburgh. I don't ever like picking against my team, but traveling for the first time in 4 weeks, I feel like this is one where we kind of lay an egg and Ben kind of has his first head scratcher game of the year. Like he has one or two of those every year where he throws like one touchdown and three interceptions. He's overthrowing guys and our receivers just drop. This just feels like one of those games. And I feel like this is a game where our running game is definitely going to have to carry us. And if they can get around Tennessee's good defense as well, Clowney's been huge for them this year. So he kind of worries me with our offensive line. But it's going to be it's gonna be a grinded out. It's going to be low-scoring game. And I think Tennessee ends up winning like 20-17.
All right. One last thing I forgot to do when we wrapped up. I think we all three have Ohio State coming out of the East in the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
And probably winning the Big Ten championship game. But I have two questions for both y'all, and I'll answer them too. First question, who represents the West in the Big Ten championship game? Bryce, who do you have?
That would be the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
I got the Badgers.
Bobby, who do you have? I also have Minnesota. Question two, I'll ask. Does the Big Ten get two teams into the playoff? Bobby, no. I'll start with you, yes or no? And who would that not. Second team be? Okay. Right.
Yeah, why not? Fuck it. Ohio State and Penn State.
I guess gun to head, I would say yes. And I would probably lean maybe Wisconsin or Minnesota, like somebody out of the West. I don't know. I don't want to say Michigan. That's get my hopes up too high, but I don't know. I'm still waiting, obviously, out to see what the Pac-12 looks like. I guess more so Oregon than the rest of the conference. Then you never know. The SEC could get two. Maybe Notre Dame, if they play Clemson close or beat Clemson, they could draw two. So it's going to be interesting. But that about does it, I think, fellas. Any last words?
Hey, let's go Bucks, baby. Football's back for real. enough of this ACC bullshit, Notre Dame. Finally, real football. I'm just kidding. I respect them, and I hope they beat Clemson so bad here in a couple weeks. So, but yeah, ready for some
Buckeye. Yeah, same. I'm glad that the Big Ten's back. You know, as an Irish fan, you know, I know we're in the ACC for this year, but we have such a long history of rivalries with Michigan, Purdue, Michigan State, Penn State. We were supposed to play Wisconsin and Green Bay this year. We're going to play Ohio State back-to-back here in a couple years. If we had to go to a conference, I wish it was that, just because of those natural rivalries and, you know, getting to talk shit with actual friends who root for those teams instead of people on the internet who only root for Clemson because they win championships.
Right. Yeah. Do I need to pat myself on the back for bringing back the Big Ten because it starts on my birthday? I probably do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to right now. Maybe I will Saturday, but, you know, hopefully we all have fun watching the games. So, all right.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Rate, review, subscribe, follow the show on Twitter at Podcock PCast. Like the Facebook page. I created one of those. That's Podcock PCast as well. We'll be back next week. There'll be sports to talk about, and we'll talk about them. So, for Bobby Russell, Bryce Bumgarner, this has been the only Tyler Peacock. Thanks for listening.